Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. The Zetas have described the scripted drama that occurs during the hour of the pole shift, when the passing planet X zooms over the head of the Earth on its way out of the solar system. The north pole of Earth is pushed away, the south pole is pulled up and along with planet X, and the result is a globe tipped over on its side, a 90-degree turn in the course of an hour. The Earth has been put under stress for days prior to this, forced to stop its rotation as the highly magnetized Atlantic Rift is gripped by the approaching planet X. During this stoppage, the core of the Earth tries to continue to turn. This pulls the land east of the Atlantic Rift in the normal direction of rotation, while the land west of the rift is piling up and pushing. So what happens when this push and pull situation is suddenly aggravated by the motion of a 90-degree turn? The Zetas have described the St. Lawrence Seaway ripping open further, and another seaway being created up through Pakistan to the north of the Himalayas. They have described the Atlantic ripping open to a great degree, and the Pacific compressing to a great degree, such that these great bodies of water are more equalized, rather than the Pacific spanning almost half a globe. They have described plates slamming into each other, such that South America slams into North America, putting at great risk the small plates in the Caribbean and through Central America. And likewise in Indonesia, those small plates, numerous there, get crumbled up like gravel during this shift. Here is a quote from Zeta Talk, scripted drama. Europe and Africa move east, allowing the Atlantic to rip apart. The Himalayas are driven over India at this point. This relieves tension along the Atlantic Rift such that this tears promptly. The St. Lawrence Seaway then rips apart further. Canada continues to move north, while the rest of the Americas cling to the Atlantic Ridge. Europe, Russia, and Asia move further to the east now, ripping this plate along the Himalayas, creating an inland bay into Russia. When the bulge of Brazil reaches the North Pole, crust slippage stops. At this point, Central America and the Caribbean crumble as South America slams into them. There is then further subduction of the Indo-Australian plate. Pacific plates are subducted under the Americas, Japan explodes, and Indonesia crumbles. As the Pacific adjusts, new land pops up between the tips of South America and Africa. End of the quote from Zeta Talk, scripted drama, written April 15, 2002. The result of this, all happening within an hour, is that the western two-thirds of Australia is also underwater, as is India. And the plate, Antarctic plate, is pushed down in the Pacific by the compression and pops up where that edge of that plate is between the tips of South America and Africa, new land popping up. Well, with all of this going on, one would wonder, how can anyone survive? Well, we're here today because, of course, there are survivors, and to survive, one only needs to consider the dangers and plan to avoid them. The land plates are above water today for a reason. They're lighter than the plates under the deep oceans, and therefore they continue to float on the sea of molten lava under the crust. This is not unlike riding a raft through a storm, as long as one does not get swept off by the waves. Along those lines, one of the greatest dangers is being along the coastline or in river basins during the pole shift, where the water will either be a massive flood tide or boring up hillsides or in turmoil. And I quote from Zeta Talk, climbing water. Those who have witnessed tidal bore roaring up a ravine are astonished that water does not seem to respond to relative sea level during those times. What makes the water climb? When the force of pressure is extreme, compressing the water at lower levels, the path of least resistance is taken. During a flood tide, this path is away from the bulk of water. Where tidal waves meet mountains, this can result in tidal bore up ravines. Where tidal waves flow inland, this results in a flood tide going hundreds of miles inland. Where the tidal wave finds foothills or barriers, the force of water is broken such that it is slowed. But where this tidal wave finds virtually no barriers due to the land being flat, it becomes water on the move, and this very momentum carries it far inland and above a height that would otherwise be expected. Water on the move does more than just push forward. It also creates a void behind it. At first, this water is on the move because there's pressure behind it, but then the force of this moving water takes on a life of its own. It has momentum, and moving forward creates a void behind it, thus drawing the water in the direction of motion, thus continuing the motion. End of the quote from Zeta Tonk, Climbing Water, written on June 15, 1999. This is the greatest danger to residents of Texas for the Zetas, who advise that because of the flat land there, the flood tide from the Gulf will just keep rolling inland and reach a height above sea level not believed possible. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Safe Locations, Texas. For Texas, this means that the water will lap at the foothills of the Rockies before dying back. Being flat land and low, the Gulf will roll over Texas without opposition at a height of several feet. This water must go someplace and will take the path of least resistance. If the water is flowing most rapidly as it moves over the flat land, then water that would normally move toward the mountains or natural barriers will be diverted to a faster-moving flow area, the Texas Plains. Thus, Texas, due to its flat terrain, will get more water overall than neighboring areas. Even the high plains will have several feet of water moving across it, where the coastal areas will have tidal waves hundreds of feet high. With few trees and faced with the after effects of hurricane-force winds and earthquakes that will flatten all but new steel skyscrapers, desperate survivors will have few places to go to escape the moving sheet of water, which will drag whatever it engulfs back out into the Gulf on its return. This was a quote from Safe Locations for Texas. For those who doubt that water on the move can have this force, there is evidence. Such flood tides have carried whales onto mountaintops, and this is of record. And I quote from Emanuel Velikovsky's book, Earth in Upheaval. Bones of whale have been found 440 feet above sea level, north of Lake Ontario. A skeleton of another whale was discovered in Vermont, more than 500 feet above sea level, and still another in the Montreal, Quebec area, about 600 feet above sea level. Although the humphrey whale and beluga occasionally enter the mouth of the St. Lawrence, they do not climb hills. End of the quote from Earth in Upheaval. And the Zetas explain, and I quote from Zeta Talk, Flood Tide. This is a flood tide with the lip of water being its highest point, rising like a silent tide, endlessly on the rise, the wave rolling inland without a crashing back and forth, just a steady, progressive inundation. To those at the mercy of such a flood tide, their first thought is to climb above the tide. Soon they are standing at the highest point they can reach, and still the water, flowing inland steadily, rises. When the flood tide recedes, those afloat are in danger of being dragged far out to sea with the flow, as the water will rush to its bed unevenly, more rapidly where it can recede the fastest. Whale bones on mountaintops well inland were not lifted by tsunami waves nor carried inland atop such a wave. A whale would not be close enough to the shore to be caught in such an occurrence. They arrived at these inland mountaintops because the entire ocean was moving, and they could not escape the momentum. Thus caught, they were deposited in rocky crags, where fast-flowing waters moved quickly away from them, through cracks, too tight a squeeze for the hapless whale left floundering behind. And this was a quote from Zeta Talk Flood Tide, written June 15, 2001. The greatest pressure will be in those areas where new land rises and the water has no place to go, or where the land drops and the water rushes into the void. Brazil is an example of new land rising nearby as popping up between the tip of South America and the tip of Africa. And I quote from Safe Locations, Brazil. Brazil suffers during the coming pole shift due to inundation from the south as a new land mass situated between the tip of South America and Africa emerges from under the waves. All that water must go someplace and will rush north into every low-lying ravine that lies in its path. This massive wave will run up and over the bluffs along the seashore, pouring water into lowlands thought protected from the sea, which will then become an inland sea for a time. Those along these bluffs should anticipate water rushing inland from the sea to this extent, and to escape tidal bore, be inland and seeking shelter out of the wind along the highest points, staying out of the ravines normally draining to the sea, as this is the course that inbound waves will take during the hour of the shift, and out of the ravines normally draining inland, as this is the course that the water will take to escape back into the sea. During the hour of the shift, survivors will find themselves in a terrifying position, with water rushing up and over the bluffs, coursing through the ravines on its way inland to pour back out via the inland rivers and marshes. End of the quote from Safe Locations, Brazil. Where Brazil will have water pouring over its coastal mountains from the south because a plate popped up, India will have an inundation for an opposite reason. Its plate will dive down, pushed under the Himalayas, essentially plunging all of India under the waves in the wink of an eye. This also affects the western two-thirds of Australia. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Safe Locations, India. India is forced under the Himalayan highlands with a violent thrust of the Indo-Australian plate, which is strong enough to remain whole, yet the edges of which will separate from the surrounding plates, so that it is free to move and slide under the Himalayas. Those in India will find, after the first strong jolts, that water is rising rapidly, coming in from the coast for those who live there, and coming from whatever area might be considered the lowland for those inland. Giant waves will not occur, just a rapid rise in the water, which will force man and animal alike to tread water for as long as possible, then drown. Those in boats will find a different scenario when the water reaches a height, as then vortexes, created by adjustments in the water, will capsize small boats and large alike. Those who would survive the coming cataclysms are advised to leave the lowlands, which in the case of India as well as Western Australia means leaving the country. Go high into the mountains and out of reach of the turmoil that mountain building in the Himalayas will present. End of the quote from Zeta Talk, Safe Locations, India. While this is already happening in India, high tides giving evidence that it is submerging, particularly in the months after the December 26, 2004 tsunami quake that loosened that plate in a 700-mile rip near Sumatra. And I quote from the Daily Telegraph, at least 15,000 villagers were evacuated after a freak tide caused a surge of seawater into the southern India state of Kerala, triggering memories of December's devastating tsunami. Seawater crashed into fishing hamlets. Meteorologists did not say what caused the tide. District officials, with the help of the police, shifted people living in the coastal belt into 16 makeshift camps as seawater swept into their homes. The high tide has started receding, but people have been asked not to go out into the sea in their fishing boats. End of the quote from the Daily Telegraph, dated May 22, 2005. rapid compression of the Pacific during the time when all the plates of the globe are crashing into each other like cars in a massive freeway pileup will affect those lands around the Ring of Fire. This water will bore up over coastal hills and mountain ranges to pool inland, certainly affecting California. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Safe Locations, California. As California's geology attests, water has been trapped in the inland valleys, behind the mountains, along the coast, and drained slowly. During the compression of the Pacific, water will wash over these mountains, where ravines or foothills allow the press of water tidal bore, and push up the rivers to flood the inland valleys, which will become an immense floodplain. After the shift, survivors afloat will paddle about in desperation, as rescue by man will not be forthcoming. The valleys will not drain for some years, and then afloat with the dead bodies of those who were trapped there. End of the quote from Safe Locations, California. But California will fare well compared to Indonesia, which stands in the way of water rushing from the Pacific to the Indian Ocean. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Safe Locations, Indonesia. Indonesia fares poorly during the coming pole shift, but most of the residents will already be dealing with disasters by the time the shift arrives. As low-lying land in the main, the steadily softening polar ice will create inundation that the country is poorly prepared to deal with. Now and then a hurricane ravages a coastline and dumps water inland. Now and then a volcano goes into an active burping stage, but overall, most of Indonesia during these times functions. With low-lying land consistently flooded throughout Indonesia, there will be an impact on the industries in the country and migrations of displaced citizens to the cities remaining above water. Indonesia is run by the wealthy elite who rape the poor and the land without government oversight. With industries shut down, the wealthy will attempt to escape to Australia or any other country that will have them. They will be running from what they will view as a sinking ship, leaving the poor behind them with scarcely a backward glance. The government will become even less responsive to the poor, who will be allowed to crowd into the cities but be kept in camps where disease will run rampant and starvation be the norm. Increasing activity in the many volcanoes that dot the region will only increase these migrations into the death camps. Thus, by the time the shift hits, most citizens of Indonesia will already be in a desperate life-and-death struggle. Those living on high ground away from volcanoes will be washed over by the large flood tides that will move from the Pacific to the Indian Ocean, and back again during the shortening of the Pacific and subduction of the Indo-Australia plate under the Himalayas. Survival will occur for a small percentage, but only because the islands are many and cover a vast area. Survival will be by accident in these cases, not by design. End of the quote from Zeta Talk, Safe Locations. Water on the move does more than just slop over the coastlines along the oceans or Great Lakes. It also clashes when draining rivers meet an incoming tidal wave. Take the case of the draining Mississippi and Missouri rivers during a Gulf slosh. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Safe Locations, Mississippi River. The Mississippi River will rise during the drenching rains that follow immediately after a pole shift. The ocean waters evaporating into the air during the worldwide hurricanes that occur during each pole shift, condensing out of the air in a fury. Rivers that feed into the main rivers emptying a continent will be affected by several factors that will cause flooding beyond what those living along their banks suppose could ever happen. Flooding today is a comparatively local affair, in the U.S. affecting several states at most. Where one river swells, another is not so affected, and thus the drainage happens more rapidly than it would if all the rivers were swollen. During the pole shift, there will be torrential rains everywhere, on and off, as the clouds are dropping water whipped up from the oceans. The Mississippi will drain in a wide area experiencing torrential rainstorms and will put any bordering land at risk of flood surges, no matter how high the hill. Large amounts of water may pass through at great speed, and when encountering an obstruction such as a hill, rise up as the path of least resistance. These flood surges will not be gentle, so escape in a boat which would capsize and tumble in the roistous waves is not likely. The horrific backwash caused by a Mississippi unable to empty its sloshing gulf will reach as far inland as Missouri and Kentucky, increasing the flooding along the rivers that drain into the Mississippi. Low-lying states along the Gulf, such as Mississippi and Louisiana, which border the Mississippi where it drains into the Gulf, can expect to be underwater. This is a quote from Safe Locations, Mississippi River. Those in the Mississippi Valley are advised to be well into the hills for safety from moving water during the shift. And by hills, I mean the Appalachian Mountains, the Rockies, or the Ozark Mountains. This is not to say that all else will drown, but the picture the Zetas paint is pretty scary. And I quote from Safe Locations, Missouri. During the torrential rains that accompany the pole shift hour and the hours following, all major rivers will be flooding their banks to a degree not in the memory of man. When the banks have been crested, the surrounding land becomes the river, and the water moving across flatland in a sheet toward whatever is the drainage point. When the press of water upstream or upland is extreme from a large amount of water, then floodwaters are not stationary but move rapidly, tearing structures off their mooring, so that more than the water is on the move. Trash of all manner will be in the swirling waters, heading for the sea across flat land not accustomed to floods at all. The flood will be a moving rush of water, not in its designated place and within river banks, but across miles of land so that the whole state of Missouri, with the exception of the Ozarks, may become a river at flood tide. End of the quote from Safe Locations, Missouri. Another key factor in safety for the coming pole shift is where the new poles will be located. Now tropical, the bulge of Brazil, the ocean just off the bulge of Brazil and India, will become the new poles. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Nepal. All in Nepal who do not move inland after the shift will freeze. During the shift itself, the population of India will drown quickly under a steady flood tide engulfing the country in the span of an hour. Washing inland, this flood tide will carry many afloat to what will be the shores of Nepal, where they will cling. Thus, in addition to concerns the survivors of the shift in Nepal will have, they will bear the burden of many newly homeless from India. All who wish to survive should then migrate inland toward the former China coastlines, where the climate can sustain life. End of the quote from Safe Locations, Nepal. And I quote from Safe Locations, Brazil. Used to the tropics, those surviving living close to the bulge of Brazil will be shocked to find themselves shivering as their homeland moves from a subtropical land to within a polar region. The climate will change from tropical or subtropical to near polar, as the new North Pole will be situated in the Atlantic Ocean off the bulge of Brazil. Take a globe in your hands and plot the distance from the North Pole to such lands as Alaska or Siberia. Plot this same distance from a point just off the bulge of Brazil. This is your new climate. Survivors unprepared for this climate change will soon die from exposure. End of the quote from Safe Locations, Brazil. Such sudden cold is of record in the frozen mammoths discovered under the permafrost in the Arctic. And I quote from Emanuel Velikovsky's book, Earth in Upheaval. In 1797, the body of a mammoth with flesh, skin, and hair was found in northeastern Siberia. The flesh had the appearance of freshly frozen beef. It was edible, and wolves and sled dogs fed on it without harm. The ground must have been frozen ever since the day of their entombment. Had it not been frozen, the bodies of the mammoths would have putrefied in a single summer, but they remained unspoiled for some thousands of years. In some mammoths, when discovered, even the eyeballs were still preserved. All this shows that the cold became suddenly extreme and knew no relenting afterward. In the stomachs and between the teeth of the mammoths were found plants and grasses that do not grow now in northern Siberia, but are now found in southern Siberia. End of the quote from Earth in Upheaval. Where the bulge of Brazil and lands near India will be plunged into cold, Alaska suffers the opposite fate, suddenly tropical. And I quote from Safe Locations, Alaska. The mild climate will encourage vegetation on the former tundra to grow, However, other than moss and lichen, there was little in the natural vegetation to eat, since the climate was harsh formerly, and the native seed stock does not include variety. Danger will exist for survivors from the large bears that roam Alaska, both grizzly and polar bears, which will be starving and aggressive until the battle between man and beast is resolved. One will eat the other in the end. The key point in locating safety in Alaska is to have solid granite rock underfoot, as all else will be awash and unpredictable when the permafrost melts. End of the quote from Safe Locations, Alaska. As a safety factor, one should consider safety in a densely populated city versus being in remote or rural areas. Consider, as an example, New York City. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Safe Locations, New York City. However well prepared a given family may be, they are never prepared for what their neighbors will bring to them. For many in New York City, on islands along the coast supported by a system of bridges that have been torn apart, they will have no escape. Tall buildings will bash into each other during the seemingly endless earthquakes, which they were scarcely designed to withstand. Fires and the howls of the injured and desperate make travel through such a devastated area literally life-threatening. Those who stay in New York City during the coming cataclysms are either ignorant of what is about to occur, courageous, or harboring a death wish. End of the quote from Safe Locations, New York City. And consider, as an example, L.A. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Safe Locations, Los Angeles. Los Angeles, the city of angels, will not fare well during the coming earth changes. Long before the actual shift, troubles will beset this city, situated on the Pacific coast and atop many active fault lines. The increasingly severe quakes racking the earth during this time will escalate to include quakes of a high enough Richter to bring down buildings and bridges in the city dependent upon its freeway system. Broken gas lines, polluted water lines, and the smog situation made worse by fires in the city will cause a return to riots and police brutality of the past. As the elite in the U.S. are anticipating mobs from L.A. invading their enclaves higher in the mountains inland, roads blocked by the military protecting the elite can be expected. Anyone not out of L.A. by the week of rotation stoppage can anticipate being entombed there, as once the shift starts, the flood tide will wash the entire city against the mountain backdrop. End of Safe Locations, Los Angeles. Mountain building, where sheer rock can be snapped and thrust as outcroppings suddenly to relieve stress, makes riding out the pole shift in areas subject to mountain building iffy. Where mountains are old, such as the Appalachian Mountains or Balkans, this is not a factor. And I quote from Safe Locations, Balkans. The foothills and mountains to the east of the Balkans, including inactive volcanoes, have not experienced problems during recent pole shifts, nor will they this time. End of the quote from Safe Locations, Balkans. But where mountain building has obviously recently occurred, rock and roll during the hour of the shift should be anticipated. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Safe Locations, Himalayas. For safety, the central part of the Himalayas will be the easiest place to ride out the shift, as where jolts will be experienced, the rock dip is deep and the rock long ago locked into firm positions, unlikely to be the weak point during compression. And I quote from Safe Location, Alps. The Alps have steadily grown during the periodic cataclysmic geological changes that pole shifts produce, due to the nearness of the fault line that runs through the Mediterranean. Where the Atlantic widens, stretching the lands in Western Europe away from the Alps, and where the African Rift Valley pulls Arabia away from the African Midland, it would seem that anything but mountain building would occur in the Alps. But just as ripping cloth causes wrinkles just above the top of the rip, the separating rift valley in Africa causes pressure in the Mediterranean on either side of the rift. Thus, land is pushed up north of the Mediterranean and into the Alps. And I quote from Safe Locations, Sierras. The mountains on the west coast of the U.S. in general will be hot and rugged, with much upheaval during the shift. The Sierras have been created because of subduction of Pacific plates under the lighter landmass, and these matters are never a gentle process. Snapping, sudden jolts, and bouncing rock stratas reacting to a sudden release of pressure can be expected all along the Sierras. The mountains and valleys have been formed because of crumbling, horizontal pressure, and this will happen again during the forthcoming shift. What happens to rock when it is asked to compress, to fold? It breaks and moves to the point of least resistance, which is upward into the air. Thus jutting peaks of sheer rock with the rock strata going almost vertical. It crumbles with a jumble of rocks rolling over each other as the mass is pushed upward. Thus anyone or anything on top of that spot will be subject to being ground up in the tumbling process. Compressed rock also is driven horizontally into nearby soil or space not occupied by anything as dense as itself. Thus, those in a valley can find rock shooting out of a hillside, or sheer rock spears shooting under their feet unexpectedly. Surviving the mountain building process while in the mountains is precarious and not advised. End of the quote from Safe Locations, Sierras. There is a difference in being on this or that side of a continental divide on what to expect. On the far side of that push, hills and mountains can be pushed over plains riding several miles further inland. This is of record. And I quote from Earth in Upheaval by Emmanuel Velikovsky. Chief Mountain in Montana is a massive standing several thousand feet above the Great Plains. It has been thrust bodily upon the much younger strata of the Great Plains and then driven over them eastward for a distance of at least 8 miles. Chief Mountain in Montana traveled across the plains and climbed the slopes of other mountains and settled on top of it. By similar thrusting, the whole Rocky Mountain front, for hundreds of miles, has been pushed up and then out, many miles over the plains. Such titanic displacement of mountains have been found in many places on the earth. The entire length of the Norwegian mountains showed a similar overthrust. The displacement of the Alps is especially extensive. During the building of the Alps, gigantic slabs of rock, thousands of feet thick, hundreds of miles long, and tens of miles wide, were thrust up and then over the rocks underneath. The direction of the relative overthrusting movement was from Africa toward the main mass of Europe and the north. The Alps were shoved 100 miles to the north. This is end of the quote from Earth in Upheaval by Emmanuel Velikovsky. On the other side of a continental divide, where rapid subduction of plates under the mountains occurs, hot earth in low-lying areas can be the result. This is something reported in legend on the west coast of the Americas. And I quote from Worlds in Collision by Emmanuel Velikovsky. The traditions of the Indians retain the memory of boiling in the rivers and seas. The tribes of British Columbia tell, great clouds appeared and such a great heat came that finally the water boiled. People jumped into the streams and lakes to cool themselves and died. On the North Pacific coast of America, the tribes insist that the ocean boiled. It grew very hot. Many animals jumped into the water to save themselves, but the water began to boil. The Indians of the southern Ute tribe in Colorado record in their legends that the rivers boiled. End of the quote from Worlds in Collision by Emmanuel Velikovsky. Central America and the Caribbean will suffer during the shift, being on small plates that will be crushed when South America crashes into North America when the crust shift stops. As they say, it's not the fall that hurts, but the sudden stop at the end of the fall. Likewise, during the shift, it's not the crust slide that hurts. It's when the plates stop moving and start crashing into each other. and I read from safe locations, Caribbean. During the time when the plates are slamming into each other, Central America and the Caribbean will suffer as the weak link. These small plates will crumble and be crushed, creating such instability that anticipating a land ride in any of these locations is an extreme toss of the dice. When the Americas move into the Pacific, shortening the distance around the Pacific Rim and widening the Atlantic, the giant continents of North and South America will not simply drift even-handedly westward. Moving plates move in the direction of least resistance, which in this case is toward the middle of the Pacific whole. Central America loses in this crunch, as do the smaller plates supporting the Caribbean islands. Going to sea in boats will scarcely be the answer, as the turmoil the water will be undergoing will create vortexes that will capsize large and small boats and even dash well-built submarines in deep water. End of the quote from Safe Locations, Caribbean. So, if so many places have dangers in one form or another, just where should people go to be relatively safe during the hour of the shift? Well inland from coastlines, off land that is mountain building, not near where rain-swollen rivers will flood, and not on one of the new poles. Land that is outside of those danger zones actually includes the majority of land on the globe. Good news. Remember that even if an area carries cautions, that does not mean that survival there is not possible. It does not mean that people in mountain building areas will not survive. It does not mean that people in flood-tide areas will not survive. It does not mean that people that will be near one of the new poles will not survive. It just means you need to be aware of what to be cautious about. But survival is more apt to happen if you are not near exploding volcanoes, mountain building, coastlines, etc., etc. And even among those relatively safe areas that don't carry those major obvious dangers, there are cautions. Some of them are sociological. Some of them relate to indigenous disease. Some of them relate to the likelihood of being inundated after the shift as the old poles melt. Even the fact that an area is considered relatively safe is a problem because it then appears to be a mecca for those wanting to escape danger, and the mob will go there. And do remember that all parts of the globe will be experiencing hurricane-force winds during the hour of the shift. All parts of the globe will be experiencing Richter 9 earthquakes as these plates crash into each other, and none of those cars on the freeway are going to escape that. They're all going to be part of the pileup. And all parts of the globe will be experiencing a deluge of rain. Given that, where are some areas that might be relatively safe? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Safe Locations, Iceland. As surprising as it may sound, when Iceland rides on a fault line, and today has active volcanoes melting the glaciers with their increasing eruptions, Iceland will not suffer unduly from earthquakes and volcanoes during the shift. This is due to the spread of the plates rather than compression in Iceland's part of the world during the shift. Thus, Iceland will be no more troubled by volcanoes than today, and the earthquakes expected to be a few singular jolts, rather than the endless jiggling that compression areas experience. Used to garnering a living from the sea, Icelanders will fare well, both in surviving the shift and in the aftertime. Danger will lie in sudden release of melted ice water from mountain lakes. Survivors should take care not to be located in gullies or potential gullies between such lakes and the sea. And I quote from Safe Locations, Sweden. Sweden does well, both during and after the coming pole shift, due primarily to its high altitude and lack of volcanoes. Facing a large ocean bay and buffeted from direct assaults from the Atlantic, the waves sloshing on her shores will not be monstrous, but will tend to ride up into the ravines with a tidal bore. The higher points toward the middle of the peninsula and those points further inland along the peninsula will be safest from wave action. The general advice is to be inland by 100 miles and 200 feet above sea level, and this is a good guide for Sweden. The Swedes are a hardy folk used to living in an inhospitable climate, so will take the jolts and sloshing in stride. It will be a pleasant surprise to find their land warmer, with the summers lasting almost all year long. Gloom is no stranger to the Swedes, so the overcast skies will not come as a shock that others will find in sunny parts of the globe. Thus, with fewer adjustments and more pleasant surprises, this land and its quiet and intelligent folk should fare well. Sweden's main concern, as the shift approaches, will be her very attractiveness to neighbors and others around the world looking for a safe place to ride out the shift. She will have many suitors, coming forward with money under the guise of investing in the country, or coming forward requesting immigration status. In the weeks prior to the shift, they will also come forward disguised as tourists. And I quote from Safe Locations, Morocco. Morocco will continue to be a tropical country after the shift, lying along the new equator. Africa as a continent will find itself above the new oceans after the poles have melted in the main, being on remarkably high ground throughout the continent. Morocco's most serious danger comes not from nature, but from man, as after the shift, desperate survivors from Europe will try to ford over into Africa for food and land. As that region today is primarily desert, there will be many battles over food, and pending starvation can make those who are starving voracious and vicious as well as desperate. And I quote from Safe Locations, the Congo. The existing vegetation will do well in the continuous drizzle that occurs for years following the shift, but the lack of sunlight will change the dynamics. Hungry predators will take out man in attacks unlike any in the memory of the horrified tribes. They will be relentless. Creatures normally kept to the swamps, some even unknown to man, will emerge to slither about the villages, eating all they can wrap around or swallow, including small adults, as well as children. Hunters will be eaten, those waiting for their return not finding them even if a rescue party is sent for. In time, all life forms will either consume their food sources or be killed, resulting in a diminished population, both human and animal. Thus, living in the drizzle, the survivors will emerge into the sunlight, where vegetation flourishes and the ever-present smell of rot is lost in the breeze. And I quote from Safe Locations, South Africa. South Africa will fare well after the pole shift, due to its close location to the new equator and high ground. Being relatively remote as an industrialized country, it may also fare well in retaining some of its technology, being used to relying upon itself rather than others. Some electricity will most likely be generated and road repairs done. Imported foodstuffs will stop after the shift, but with an improved climate and distance from volcanoes, some crop growing will succeed. South Africa's largest problem will be during the shift itself, as it lies between the Atlantic and Indian Oceans. During India's subduction, an actual suction will occur there, drawing water. When the Atlantic widens, a similar situation will occur. Those wanting to survive the shift should move well inland and return only after water sloshing has stopped, a period of several days to be safe. And I quote from Safe Locations, Russia. Russia, which is in the main in frozen northlands, will be pleasantly surprised to find itself in a warmer climate. In the center of a plate, the earthquakes will not be as long-lasting as along faults, and the aftershocks minimal. Thereafter, the real threat for Russia will creep up upon the survivors. Siberia is lowland, and the melting poles will swallow this land within months. Russia, in the main, is lowland, which will shortly be flooded after the shift. those hapless Russians who have not heard of the pending pole shift and the melting of the poles to shortly follow the shift will find themselves getting soggy, then flooded, with rains and overflowing rivers and streams that simply do not drain any longer. At first, in the lowlands, residents will move to hilltops, then treetops, and then fashion boats out of anything that can float. However, given the broad expanse that will be inundated, there will be nowhere to go. Survivors will step away from the rising water into higher and higher ground, then find themselves eventually stranded on a diminishing island with no land in sight. Without a sense of direction, and with north and south now west and east, compasses will be no guide, and the stars will not be visible in the main due to volcanic dust. Those who would survive in the long term are advised to position themselves near high land. We would advise those who are not near mountains or highlands, such as the Urals, to fashion boats early and plot a course, citing familiar landmarks as the move on houseboat or whatever they have devised prior to a full flooding of their lowlands. Being afloat, they can move from community to community, if compatible, until they arrive at a site where they are welcome and the land is clearly going to remain above ground. The waters can be expected to rise for 2 years after the shift, but during this time, a floating group can fish or harvest from the sea. And I quote from Safe Locations, Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan will become immensely important to the Russian people after the shift, as it is high country and well connected to parts both north and south by culture, commerce, and tradition. Drowning Russians from the north will arrive at what will be their new shorelines when the lowlands of Siberia go underwater. They will bring with them few possessions, but humility will not be among them. Kazakhstan is not considered the home of the elite in Russia, but any elite not scrambling to the Urals will try to set up shop in Kazakhstan. Thus, in preparation for this arrival, residents of Kazakhstan should mentally prepare their stance toward such a takeover attempt. Guests are welcome, but are expected to work alongside their hosts, and no new leadership is desired. Kazakhstan today has both summer and winter, and is agricultural. After the shift, it will find itself closer to the new South Pole and colder. This will change their culture into one of fishing in the ocean to what will become the new South over former Siberian lands, where fish and all they feed upon will migrate to eat the rotting material that has gone under the waves. There will be other outlets to the oceans, as the continent will rip and create a rift above the Himalayas, but being centered in the new polar circle, this will freeze and not allow ready access to ocean fishing. Inland lakes without an outlet may temporarily rise due to the continuous drizzle that follows the shift, so residents along the shorelines of such lakes should anticipate moving up into the hills if need be. The jolts from the shift, which will drive the Himalayas higher, will shatter any housing not flexible, so that structures of brick or stone or mortar will fall upon the hapless residents huddled there. Best to weather the hour of the shift outdoors in ravines and remake housing afterwards. And I quote from Safe Locations, China. The vast reaches of mainland China will fare well during the coming pole shift for several reasons. Geographically, the land inland lies well above sea level and its moderate climate will in the main continue. But being closer to the new South Pole, India, than the previous North Pole, the climate will have shorter summers and longer, more bitter winters. The primitive lifestyle of the majority of the people who have learned to adapt stoically to harsh conditions, both economic and political, while living in what is essentially mud and straw houses or tents, will allow most to survive the pole shift and to adjust to difficult growing seasons afterwards. China's greatest worry comes from rain, the continuous deluges that will occur during the days that follow the pole shift. Denuded of forests during centuries of overpopulation and having cultivated the wetlands so that they no longer act as a sponge, inland China will find itself washed away into flooded and raging rivers. The water will spill over, creating vast moving bodies of water which will carry away all but stone structures and cover those in wave after wave of muddy water. Few will survive these floods, leaving only those who have managed to cling to hilltops to survive not only those floods, but also the high winds that occur during the shift itself. Starvation, already a problem China struggles with, will decimate survivors, but due to the tenacity of the Chinese people, those who survive these times will form communities that will participate in the transformation of the earth into better times in the future. And I quote from Safe Locations, New Zealand. Where New Zealand lies along a fault line and thus has active volcanoes and geothermal areas, due to the tipping up of the plate New Zealand lies on, pressure will be reduced during the hour of the shift, not increased, and the incidence of exploding volcanoes and the like lessened for this reason. In essence, there will be a new space under the tipped plate for lava to fill in during the shift, which will reduce the press of lava upward. For the several hundred feet that India will drop below its current sea level, there will be a commensurate rise at the far end of the plate shared with Australia and New Zealand, with the major benefit of this rise at the New Zealand end. New Zealand can expect, after all the sloshing about has stopped, to find itself 500 feet above the current sea level, with the melting poles expected to raise the sea level between 650 and 700 feet. This gain will disappear, but what the raised land does mean for New Zealand is that more of its land will be above water after the poles melt than elsewhere in the world. And I quote from Safe Locations, Mexico. Mexico will in general do well during and after the shift, as subducting plates are more of a problem for the west coast of the U.S. and Canada than Mexico, there being more broken plates in the general area of Central America to take the shock. Stay inland, central to Mexico as a country, for best results. The inland desert or semi-desert regions of Mexico, which suffer from a lack of water when westerly winds dump their moisture when first coming inland, will find their climate changing. They will flourish in vegetation in the aftertime due to a changed climate, which will remain temperate and fairly close to the equator. With oceans to the new south and north, they will find rains plentiful, and these former deserts will bloom. As with any country, active or inactive volcanoes should be avoided, staying at least 100 miles from either. And I quote from Safe Locations, Canada. All of Canada fares well during the coming pole shift, and depending upon its altitude will fare better after the pole shift than before due to the climate changes. Canada is in the main not crisscrossed with earthquake faults or active volcanoes, and thus suffers less from the direct effects of earthquakes and exploding volcanoes during the pole shift. Canada will be positioned above the equator in a temperate zone after the pole shift, in a warmer strata than at present. For Canada is an ally of the U.S. government, it is not all that comfortable with the giant to the south, and will rebel against any attempts to control Canadian lands after the pole shift. However, within Canada there are many factions that will battle with each other for resources. Where the Canadian people are resourceful and used to living in a harsh land, deeply frozen during the long winters, in the cities, as in all industrialized countries, the populace is soft and will be unprepared for aftertime living when the foodstuffs are not imported. Religious factions, racial unease, and class differences will create tensions in tight times beyond what is already experienced and should be anticipated. The worry Canadians should be concerned about is one that will sneak up on them in the days leading into the pole shift and in the years following. Much of Canada has a low sea level, and where land lies lower than 650 to 700 feet, this will be inundated within 2 years due to the melting ice caps of the old poles. If situated in an area due to be inundated, survivors will have to repeatedly move ahead of the encroaching waters and take care they are not trapped on an island in the process. This is the end of the quotes from Safe Locations, Canada. regardless of the relative safety of a land, migrations will occur among all survivors worldwide as all are seeking a better place, some locales being relatively safe and thus having their population in the main survive, and worrying about how to feed their own population, will find their greatest problem the many people that will be either migrating to their locale or be passing through. I quote from Safe Locations, Germany. Germany's neighbors to the east in Poland will find the higher land in the mountains attractive after the shift when the poles are melting and the waters rising. Being seagoing folk, they will have ships at their disposal and will take to these, arriving at the mountain peaks sticking above the water in large numbers. Where the lands were formerly held by productive and efficient people, such as Germany has, and has hosted workers from many lands due to economic booms, these places will be remembered as welcoming. Germany's reputation, thus, will doom it to be remembered as a place to migrate to, with the potential of finding shiploads of survivors on the horizon. I quote from Safe Locations, Somalia. The Horn of Africa, Somalia, is warlord prone, given to the battle craze for many long years, and will not give up this stance going into times of hardship. They will become mercenaries on the rove. This will force their neighbors in Ethiopia and Kenya to defend themselves, and not in a polite manner. The outcome of these types of battles in normal times depends on how well supplied an army is, but in lean times, migrating mercenaries do not fare well. They are used to living on looting, what they can commandeer with guns and by being ruthless brutes. Their reputation pressed on all who hear them coming to lay out the goods before confrontations emerge. But in lean times, where death is the outcome for those about to be looted, something else emerges, resistance. Communities and their livestock disappear, and the marauders find little to feed themselves and fall to infighting among themselves. Thus weakened, they are picked at from the bushes along roadsides until the remnants falter and fail. Such a process may take years, even decades, but the outcome is certain. I quote from Safe Locations, Colombia. Colombia will stand as the high ground that frantic survivors in Central America will scramble toward during the shift. As Panama is the point where water today flows between the Pacific and the Caribbean, this is a bridge to safety that will wash out early during the hour of the shift. However, any survivors clinging to floating material will wash up on Colombia's shore, wanting rescue to be fed and housed. Thus, as with many other countries faring better during the shift than its neighbors, Colombia will find itself a hospital and a refugee camp. From the Amazon basin, likewise, the press of populace seeking high ground will occur. As the Amazon floods during the 2 years following the shift, due to the melting of the existing poles, man and animal alike will be on the move. Thus, the high grounds of Colombia will be an interesting place, with conflicts of all kinds abounding in the aftertime. The drug wars, which often dominate the scene in Colombia, will become non-existent as the traffic cannot move. Colombia's drug crop will be used, rather, to dull the horrific reality among those who seek this route. Colombia will continue to be a country where guns rule, to some extent, for some time after the shift. For those not finding their location addressed during these discussions, do check the Zeta Talk site and take the Safe Locations link. That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought, those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.
You have been listening to a Blog In Broadcasting service, a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much, and good night.